Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
I made it in 3 weeks in a row.
Yes.
Yes.
Getting into the Advent season, and we're in the Advent season.
Yep, officially starting.
Yeah. Wow, a time of preparation for the birth of Messiah.
Uh-huh.
What an exciting time.
Not only the birth of Messiah, but the second coming of Messiah, too.
Exactly. Because we're not only in Advent, we're also in the second Advent.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. He may come back before the show's over, which would be awesome.
Or, that would be good.
You know, he might come back 50 years from today when we're probably not going to be doing a show.
Probably not.
But regardless of whether he comes back in 5 minutes or in 50 years or in 200 years, we're definitely in the second Advent. And so we should be preparing. You know, there's the old saying about you should live each day as if it's your last day.
That's true.
But boy, how often do we really do that? Not very often.
Not very often.
Because every time, you know, the Bible points out that the day of salvation is today. You know, salvation's at hand.
Mm-hmm.
I forget exactly how it goes, but it's like today you have to accept salvation because you don't know if you're going to still be alive half hour from now.
That's true.
And how many people probably say, well, you know, I'll deal with God when I know that I'm about to die and I'm laying in the hospital bed, and then I'll call for the priest or the minister or somebody and I'll repent. And that might not be for a long time, or it might be tomorrow afternoon, or
yeah,
you might just fall over 5 minutes from now, taking the garbage out to the curb.
You never know.
Yes. So when you know, when today's the acceptable day, you have to take that very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how in modern times, it's not politically correct to talk that way. Because after all, if we watch our diet and we exercise, we can live for hundreds of years. And secondly, we don't have to worry about sin anymore because I love God. He loves me and everything's fine. And so it's
like Barney.
Yeah. And so we pointed out the last couple of shows that John the Baptist's voice was startling and loud and penetrating, is what the Greek means there. And this is what we need today because people are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And just like at Rosh Hashanah time, we talk about how one of the things the shofar blast does is it's supposed to wake you up from sleep.
Yeah.
We need a shofar blast followed by a loud penetrating voice. Because everybody's kind of just like hitting the snooze button on their alarm clock.
Yeah, that's true.
Worse yet, they're just kind of sitting in church going, oh, isn't this nice? Well, yeah, this is really nice. And I'm glad everything's going okay. And or worse yet, I don't really care about that Jesus stuff because after all, I'm only 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever you are.
Mm-hmm.
But now's the time of preparation. And John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the herald. Was his name Herald? No, we decided his name wasn't Herald, but he was the herald. And he was announcing, he was making way for the Messiah, as was predicted by the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. You can read that for your homework because we already went through it. But what really leads into this is this preparation time that's shown by John the Baptist in the scriptures. So do you want to read, let's see, what was it we were going to read?
Was it John?
Yeah, John chapter 1, which is one of the most awesome chapters in the whole Bible. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
And down to verse 19?
1 through 19?
No, verse 19.
Yeah.
And following down to 28.
And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Messiah." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing.
Mm.
So he's out there baptizing.
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness. And here comes the Pharisees and the Sadducees going, hold on.
What are you guys doing? These guys are like everywhere.
What are you guys doing out here? Do you have a permit to baptize people? Oh, no, they weren't asking about that.
Yeah. And
they're checking things out.
You can only imagine the conversations they would have had in Jerusalem before they went out there. We better send a couple of guys up there and see what this dude's doing, because everybody's coming talking about him, and everybody's saying how he's talking about repenting and the kingdom of God is at hand. And hey, wait a minute. If the kingdom of God, if there's anyone who knows about the kingdom of God, it's us.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the holy guys. We're here with all the stuff, and we better go up and check this guy out. But interestingly, too, they also want to ask him who he is. You know, so they come out and say, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Because that's, you know, like the first thing they want to know. Because after all, he's baptizing, he's talking about repentance. So there's this sense that, well, maybe we should take this guy seriously.
And you know what's interesting is he says, "There's one among you whom you do not recognize."
Mm-hmm.
But yet they didn't even recognize who he was.
Yes.
They didn't even recognize who John the Baptist was from the prophet Malachi.
Yeah, that's right.
So not only did they miss the Messiah, they missed the forerunner.
They missed the forerunner. And it's kind of interesting that he says, "There stands one among you who you do not know." And that's going to basically go through the whole ministry of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is near the beginning of his ministry. This is the beginning of his ministry. But for the next 3 years, these same Pharisees are going to have contact with him. They're going to have exposure to him directly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, visibly see him. Not to mention they're going to hear reports coming from all over the place about what he's doing and miracles and the things that he's saying. But they're not going to know him in the sense of anything but, I don't know who this troublemaker is, but we got to get rid of him. We have to either shut him up, or we got to kill him, or we got to get rid of him somehow. They don't take him seriously in the sense that, you know, when Paul says in Romans, of all the people that should have known the messianic prophecies, it should have been these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And even right down to the idea that John the Baptist is preaching in the wilderness that there's one that's coming that's, you know, already here. They should have known the prophecies from Malachi that someone is coming to prepare his way. They should have known the prophecies from Isaiah. Here he quotes Isaiah 40 verse 3, like, in Matthew's gospel, it quotes that too. But when he says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," this is directly from the prophet Isaiah. It's right. One of his messianic prophecies. And, you know, I always use the example of Palm Sunday. When they saw Palm Sunday unfolding, the king coming into the city on a donkey, people yelling, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Could this be Zechariah 9:9? I don't know. No, that didn't even cross their mind. And here, when they see this wild guy preaching in the wilderness about the Christ, the Messiah, who's already here, because he says he's already among you, you just don't know him.
Right.
He's already there. He's 30 years old at this time. they don't stop to think, well, wait a minute, here's a guy crying in the wilderness that he's making straight the way of the Lord. That's Isaiah. They wouldn't have had chapters then, but they would have said, that's in the book of Isaiah. So maybe we should, you know, take this a little more seriously. But, you know, are you the Christ? No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. So, dude, who are you? You know, you're not anybody. I mean, who are you? What's your qualification for doing this?
Yeah. And you're going to see this play out again once Jesus is born and the wise men come looking for him.
Yes.
They do the same thing.
Exactly.
Where's the king? King? Quick, send for the religious leaders and ascertain what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's right here in the scrolls.
Micah chapter 5.
Let us know when you find them.
Yeah.
Have
a nice trip.
Have a nice trip.
And not a single one of them goes with them.
Right. So they're going to do the exact same thing again. They don't know. They're blinded by their own religiousness.
Yeah.
They're blinded by their own identity of who they think they are. And
yes,
really not serving God, but really serving themselves.
Yeah, and that's really an important point. They are, you know, the Pharisees were the set apart ones. We follow the law. These other people don't. That's why they always ask the apostles, well, how come your master doesn't follow the law? You know, how come he doesn't keep the Sabbath?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at all the holy stuff we do. You know, what does this guy do? And when they ask if he's the Messiah, he says no. And he's, of course, as we mentioned last week, he's filled with the Spirit, and he doesn't back down from confronting these guys who are the religious leaders. He's not afraid to confront them.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask him, are you Elijah? Because there's prophecies also in Malachi that Elijah is going to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So they said, well, are you Elijah? He says, nope, not Elijah. You know, are you Elijah reincarnated is basically what they're saying. But of course, Elijah never died.
Right.
So they thought maybe Elijah came back.
Mm-hmm.
He says, nope, not Elijah. Then they say, well, are you the prophet? And, you know, again, going back to our Hebrew roots, this comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18, when God tells Moses that there's going to be a prophet that's going to come from among you who everyone is going to listen to. And if you don't listen to him, you're going to be in big trouble. In verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. And he's going to be like Moses in the sense that Moses is the mediator of the old covenant. This is going to be the mediator of the new covenant. But he says, I'm not that guy either.
Mm-hmm.
So now they got kind of like, okay, then who are you? I mean,
you're at a loss.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Yeah.
Which is kind of neat. And he says, you know, the one who's coming after me, he's the one that's important.
Yeah. And it kind of, you know, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about how when Nicodemus comes to Jesus under the cover of night.
Yeah.
Can you explain some of this stuff to me?
Yes.
This being, you know, how's somebody born again?
Yes.
When they're old.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says to him, you're the teacher
you're
of Israel
teacher,
and
man.
You do not know these things?
Yes.
How are you instructing the people?
Yes.
So, they know the law, they have the scrolls, but they're not looking.
Yes.
And they're not searching. Because even though everything that they had at that time was pointing to the coming of a Messiah, they would have known the prophecies of Isaiah. They would have known the mm-hmm. prophecy of Micah.
All they did was study the scriptures.
Right. But even though they studied it, the word of God wasn't transforming their heart that they were looking for.
Yes.
Him.
Exactly. That's an excellent point.
So you can be steeped in the Word of God all you want.
Yeah.
But if you're not searching for God, you're going to be in the same position as these Pharisees were and these Sadducees. You know, you have to want to find God. You want to have to know him and encounter him and cry out to him. But if you're just reading and saying, okay, I got this. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. This is this and this is that. Okay. Well, yeah, I got this all figured out. Okay. Well, all right. Let's on to the next thing.
Yeah.
You know, they missed the forerunner. And likewise, they missed the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They missed the time of their visitation.
Yes.
So this is why Advent is so important, because we have to prepare ourselves and to place ourselves in the frame of mind where we humble ourselves before God, because we want to find him.
Mm-hmm.
We want to seek him and we want to know him. And by doing that, you're placing yourself in a position where you can come before the Lord, not with all your accomplishments that you've done. There's nothing wrong with accomplishments, but with a certain sense of humility that says, Lord, without you, I'm incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know you more. I want to know the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the risen one. I want to know the one who took my punishment. I want to know the one who was born for my affliction. So, you know, the season of Advent is an awesome time to take a inventory of your own house, if you will,
mm-hmm.
a spiritual inventory of your life, and go, man, where am I at?
Yes.
Am I like the Pharisees, not seeing who John the Baptist was?
Yeah. Well,
am I like the Pharisees, not seeing who Jesus was? Did I miss my time of, you know, did I miss my divine appointment? Because if I did, can we reschedule?
Well, that's an awesome point. Yeah, you got to take stock of where you are.
Yeah.
And like we talked about the last couple of weeks, repentance is the way into the kingdom. But periodically, you have to stop and re-examine where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you mentioned last week or the week before, you know, it doesn't take long for us to go off on some other kind of a tangent.
Because
that's just how we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Paul writes to Timothy and tells him, although you're supposed to be teaching people stuff, you know, you should be reviewing all the stuff yourself. Because, you know, you want to keep focused on what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, if we say, you know, I know all that stuff. Oh, yeah. I've said all the prayers. I've read all the Bible. I've done all the stuff and I've gone to enough church services and whatever. You're going to get lost.
Yeah.
Because we are too easily distracted. And I think the other thing is, and it's one of my, of course, pet peeves, is that people don't study the scripture. So when Jesus says to Nicodemus, you know, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know this? It's like, you know, your teacher should know the scriptures and should be able to convey that to you. So if somebody says you're their teacher, you know, somebody says they're your teacher and you mention some gospel passage and they say, well, I don't know what you're talking about, then they shouldn't be your teacher.
Yeah.
When he talks to the two guys on the road to Emmaus, he says, how slow you are to understand this. Haven't you read, you know, Moses and the prophets? Well, let me tell you about this. Haven't you read? Haven't you heard? He wants us to know the scriptures. And because they knew these guys knew these scriptures, so they should have understood that this messenger was coming ahead of time.
Yeah.
Both from Malachi and earlier from Isaiah. And then, you know, it goes on to say that when John sees Jesus on the other side of the river, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. That's the Messiah. So as the transition point between the old covenant and the new covenant, John the Baptist is, I always like to think of him as kind of the last prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the prophets talked about Messiah coming at some time. And John stands on the side of the river and says, there he is. He's the Lamb of God.
Yeah. And, you know, these Pharisees and Sadducees, they would have known that there hadn't been a prophet in, what, 400 years?
400 years, yeah.
And it's almost like, were they lulled to sleep because of the silence?
Well, that's an interesting point.
Did they fall asleep because nothing had happened for so long? And now all of a sudden there's this guy, you know, shouting in the wilderness, crying out in the wilderness, make straight a path for the Lord.
And he's a weird looking dude.
Yeah. What, you know, who are you? You know, when there was a prophet, people knew who the prophet was.
Yes.
Now there's this void. Mm-hmm. There's this period of time where there's nothing, and now there is not a prophet, but yes, the forebearer.
Yes. And John the Baptist has actually quite short of a career as a prophet. The other prophets are around forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Isaiah was around for decades. Jeremiah was around for decades. He's not around very long.
No. And he understands. John will say, he must increase, meaning Christ must increase, mm-hmm, and I must decrease.
Yes.
Because I'm not the Messiah.
Right.
John knew when it was time for him to.
Yes.
When his ministry was over.
Yeah.
Because now that the Messiah was there, his mission was accomplished.
Yeah. And I think that's an important message for us in the sense of, he says, there's the Lamb of God. You know, when the Bible says, behold, it's like, hey, wow, look, this is like a exciting, emphatic thing. Behold.
Yeah.
So he says, there's the Lamb of God. And you just make a great point where everybody's ministry and everybody's life should be geared to pointing at Jesus and saying, there's the Messiah. There's the Messiah. This is not about me.
Right.
This is not about how much scripture you've memorized. It's not about how much music you do.
Hey, wait a minute.
Or how much music I do, which isn't very much. It's not geared to, well, I have this leadership position. I'm the head of the whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not about us. It's about, John's pointing out, this ministry that I'm doing right now is not about me.
It's about him.
It's about him. And there he is, and I'm not even fit to untie his sandals or carry his sandals. Or,
yeah.
He was before me. Was forever.
I mean, really, how many ministers of the word are willing to say that?
Yes.
Because the ministry really sometimes is about a person and a personality.
Yes.
And are we pointing people to Jesus Christ?
Yes.
That's the important thing.
That's the important thing.
John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus Christ.
Yes. And that was his function.
Yeah.
That was why, you know, he says he was before me. He was preferred before me. I'm just his messenger. So you guys show up here saying, hey, are you the Christ? Hey, are you Elijah? Hey, are you the prophet? Hey, I'm just preparing the way for the Lord. And there, by the way, there he is.
Yeah.
And this is what we should be doing. So if you're, and I, you know, we don't have to watch a lot of Christian TV before you realize some of these ministries are about the person who's doing it and all that, but we don't want to get into that now because I already hear the music. But the ministry should be about pointing people to Messiah.
Yeah.
Can't believe the show's over already.
I know.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome first Sunday of Advent.
And we just pray that in your spiritual life, you would be pointed to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will reign forever and ever. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.